Welcome to I'm Obsessed With This, the Netflix podcast about the shows and films viewers cannot get enough of, sort of like how Erica Berry cannot get enough tears out of her system. And today I'm joined in the studio by Wall Street Journal Magazine digital editor Miles Tanzer. Hi, Miles.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on this beautiful Friday. It's cold now.
It's freezing, but
it's actually
perfect weather for this because I'm wearing a sweater that is cream colored, which is like perfect for our discussion.
You're right. Nancy would love that. She wouldn't love the coat. What would you call that print? Not herringbone.
It's a knit. It's
a salt and pepper knit.
Yeah.
A lovely coat.
Thank you so much.
I would love the coat. Nancy would say, no.
No, too dark.
It's too dark. She wants creams. She wants whites. She doesn't want blues.
Mm-mm, no way.
The only salt and pepper she wants is a Hamptons shingle, you know, the shingles on the side of the house.
Yes.
So maybe you would blend in with those. It's not good.
Absolutely.
But thank you for being here. How's the essential water?
Thank you. The water is delicious. It's fresh. It's perfect. Perfectly chilled.
I don't know if you told me this in person or if you just tweeted it once.
Sure.
Miles Tanzer on Twitter.com. I was surprised that you didn't want a seltzer.
I love a seltzer, but...
Don't you carry around salt packets sometimes?
I do. I love a seltzer. I love salt. I love... Those are two of the mains. Mm-hmm. But I would say when I'm like doing like a talking on a microphone, mm-hmm. when I have a seltzer, it's like a little burpy.
Okay.
And then
okay.
like I get weird that I'm like dodging the mic to like side burp discreetly. Like, a little like...
Maybe they didn't notice it was a burp.
Yeah. So I like a flat water.
Okay.
For sure.
That makes sense. And that has, you know, that's what do they call that? It's alkaline
it's
water.
Fortified for something, yeah. I believe.
It's a scam, but it tastes good. It's really good.
Absolutely.
So when we first talked about you coming on the show, we were talking about gay movies on Netflix, and there's usually like a very wide variety of gay movies on Netflix, but unfortunately they're like they come in, they come out, they come and go. We kind of like keep our eyes on that category and hope like a new one comes in, and it's always nice because you can just pick anything and it's going to be a good time. Mm-hmm. We switched around. We're going to talk about Something's Gotta Give.
Totally.
But before we get into that, have you watched a good gay movie on Netflix lately?
The thing about the gay movies on Netflix that I really like is that that's like my, to quote Sex and the City, my secret single behavior in that like, if I have like the apartment to myself, I'll just put on like the saddest gay movie on Netflix I can mm-hmm. find.
Yeah.
So like often it's literally just like this couple in like the late 70s, early 80s, and you know what's gonna happen and it's gonna break your heart. Mm-hmm. And like I just watch that and I cry and I love it. And like there's like six movies on Netflix right now that like have that category.
And only when you're alone.
Yeah. It's just like that's my like private moment, like mm-hmm. I can't really enjoy it with friends or like my partner, like it's more for me.
And you're newly engaged, congratulations.
Thank you. I am.
We'll get into that later.
Okay.
I want to know how that relates to the Nancy Myers
universe. Totally.
But until then, I watched Jenny Slate this morning because
yes
of you.
I love it. I was crying tears of laughter.
She's so funny. So she has a new stand-up special. And a lot of it involves ghosts, which I was not expecting. A lot of it involves her family. Like, it's mostly about her family.
It's really cliche sounding, but it's very personal. Like, mm-hmm. I was very surprised that, like, obviously, stand-ups by their nature are, like, confessional. Mm-hmm. But in this one, like, it really feels very, very personal. There's, like, the interstitial interviews with her where she gets very revealing about her career. Mm-hmm. And I just found it really moving, but also at the same time was, like, laughing uncontrollably.
She's so funny. And I feel like there was sort of a learning curve for me. The mm-hmm. the beginning, it was almost too personal. It was like jarringly personal.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm not really laughing much. Like, I like watching this, but this is a lot. And then by the end, it just sort of becomes sort of a traditional stand-up thing. And it was interesting hearing her talk about her divorce, which I wasn't expecting.
No, I really wasn't either. And like, I've watched her videos for so long. Like, I remember when she would do those videos with like Gabe Liebman, they were so
Marcel Duchamp.
Yeah, Marcel Duchamp, yeah. And like just really, really funny. And this showed like such a side of her that was kind of closer to like her movie, like Obvious Child, mm-hmm. And just like her. I don't know, like she's shown a lot of like intimacy on screen, mm-hmm. and that was in the special, which I wasn't really expecting. I was expecting it to be like haha funny, and
I think it's hard for a lot of people to do this, and she succeeds at this, which is that if you are. And I think she is like objectively like beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, like sort of like traditionally classically beautiful woman.
Yeah. She's
but if you are like a classically beautiful person and you are complaining about how you are insecure and you think you are unworthy of everything that's been thrown on you, sometimes it can be a little hard to swallow, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, Jennifer Aniston, like, chill. But with Jenny Slate, I sort of, there's something about her delivery, and I think it is just because it's because she's been a comedian for so long, and it's like, mm-hmm. we feel like we do know these people a little more than we know. By nature, they have to be a little more open and honest about themselves. So yeah. It's like, I believe her in a way that I don't necessarily believe, you know, Reese Witherspoon. Now I'm just mentioning morning show people. In a way, I don't believe Mark Duplass.
Yeah, that's all a lie.
Have you watched Morning Show?
I have watched it.
Should I watch it?
I was a total sucker for it. By the third episode, I was just like, oh, I'm all in. Like, I could not be more interested in watching the rest of the show.
I kept hearing people tweet. Well, I would see it back and forth. People would say, like, it's so stupid. I hate it. And then, like, it's so stupid. I love it. And I feel like I would fall in the latter camp.
Yeah.
Because, like, I love The Newsroom and I hated it at the same time.
Then you would love this show. Okay. It's exactly that, in that you're just watching it. You're like, this is so unbelievable and ridiculous. And, like, please give me 20 more hours of it. Like, I can't live without it.
Were they releasing them in batches, right?
There's only three? It was the first three now, and then I think there's one out every Friday from now on.
And Jenny Slate's stand-up special is streaming now on Netflix.
Yeah.
The ghost thing, I wasn't really sure. Where do you think they ended up there? Because she had that part with her dad where he was I didn't realize that sort of affected your entire life.
Right.
But
that was a part, yeah, that I wasn't really sure about.
I wasn't sure if it was her being like, I no longer think the house is haunted. Or now I just understand why I feel like the house is haunted.
Yeah.
But, like, I went away convinced that the Slate family household was fully haunted by, like, a vengeful ghost.
Absolutely. I agree. And also, she was like, well, they're moving. Like, great. And I was like, is this, like, your way of really saying goodbye to this, like, ghost mm-hmm. part of your mm-hmm. life? And, like, that was...
The ghost yeah. part of your life?
I don't know. It did feel surprisingly... centered in the story of mm-hmm. the special, which I was like, okay, like, I'm with you still because mm-hmm. I'm enjoying this a lot, but at the same time, part of me was like mm-hmm. not totally convinced on that.
Yeah,
but overall,
she's funny.
Very into it, and she's so funny.
She's funny.
Her joke about skeletons in the audience.
Oh yeah, when the skeleton laughed. Oh my god, I'll put that here.
Isn't it so scary that we're all that's just a room filled with skeletons? Isn't it so gross? If you described us that way, that it was a dark room with the red curtains filled with skeletons that were covered in slippery muscles and blood, enrobed in skin. When you laugh, your skeleton's like,
another great way to transition is with this. See, you know, it's supposed to play in your headphones, but you know.
Okay. I was hoping you would do this.
I'm gonna let it just wash over
great.
Us. How insane is it that Something's Gotta Give begins with Crazy Town Butterfly?
So I rewatched this movie this weekend, and for a second, like, I forgot about it and was mm-hmm. like, oh, did I pick the wrong movie? Mm-hmm. Because it's so insane that it starts with a montage of hot girls walking into clubs to Crazy
and, like,
Town
meatpacking.
Butterfly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's like, oh, great. Yeah, like, mm-hmm. that makes sense.
And then there's no, I mean, I guess it's like Harry's World.
Yeah.
But even if it's just Harry's World, it has very little to do with the rest of the movie. Like,
right.
we rarely see him in that environment. We just know that it's some place that he
yeah,
drives.
Right.
It's very jarring, but it's always like, I've probably seen this movie over 10 times now.
Yeah.
And I think it's sort of a running theme with this movie, but like, I forget it every time I watch it. You know, like, every time I watch it, I feel like I haven't seen it before. And I'm like, oh, right, this happens. Oh, right, Keanu Reeves is in this. Oh, right, he's a doctor.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, she gets naked. Crazy Town Butterfly.
Yeah.
This movie ends 5 times.
Yeah. The thing about the music cues in this movie, too, is that somehow Crazy Town Butterfly is played in it, but also Sunday Morning by Maroon 5, which, like, there's significant distance between those two pop songs, but they both are in this movie.
Which is definitely one of their first singles, right?
Yeah, for sure.
If not, like in their first few...
hit album, yeah.
Yeah. Song is about Jane. There it is, November. And it came out. This song was released as a single after it appeared in the movie.
Right.
That's so weird.
So, like, what... I was like, where in the timeline does this fall? But it, because of, like, the stars and the music choices and, like, I feel like it exists in its own universe of like suspended reality, which is like where I want to live.
Speaking of the soundtrack, it ends with Jack Nicholson singing La Vie en Rose.
Yes. Which, yeah, we know like Nancy Myers has shared about this, that like there was supposed to be this bonus scene with them in Paris singing on stage together and like really being in love. So like the fact that that was also in the movie is like crazy.
I would love to read, I mean, I'm sure it's readily available online. Most screenplays for really popular movies like this one are, but it's like, I would love to read any first draft of an Nancy Myers movie, because I feel like they're always over 2 hours long, the final cuts, and you always get the feeling that she left some stuff out, like a lot of stuff out, and that it was hard for her to get down to 140 minutes. Yes. You know, like she's like, I had to kill all of my darling, like they're all dead. And I want to know everything else that Erica and what's his name, Harry, got into in her mind.
I also do feel, though, that like there's so much missed opportunity for like cinematic universes of all of her movies then, because like there's definitely like we are kind of left at the end, and like I want to talk about this more or whatever, but like with Keanu Reeves's character, like we don't see his exit and we don't get really like resolution on his story.
Yeah.
So like, what is the like Keanu spinoff that she had in mind, or like the like extra 40 minutes of Keanu content that we didn't get?
Like how many other women over 50 has Keanu like thrown himself at in that hospital? You know, part of it seems deeply inappropriate.
Yes.
Like the whole relationship, even though like on a surface level, you're like, yeah, like gender flipping. Yeah, now the old woman gets the younger man. This is so hot. But then it's like, no, this is really all of this is inappropriate and very weird. And I'm not convinced that he's not a freak, like a creep. Like he gives off a very murderous vibe in this movie.
A little bit.
It's very secretive.
Yeah.
And defensive.
He's also seen all of her plays, and like she has like 30 plays or something. Like, why is this young Hamptons doctor so interested in this one specific feminist playwright? And it's very like focused, and the fact that he's like, oh, I didn't realize it was you, is very like kind of strange. But I'm also just like, you are so attractive in this movie, and like kind and
kind of find yourself wondering like, or thinking, it would be okay if she didn't get with Harry.
Yeah.
So this works. This is nice.
She has options, which is kind of surprising and crazy.
Yeah, for a movie about like a 55-year-old woman.
Yeah. She has her pick, which is brilliant. But also just like, what happens? What happens to
I keep wanting to look at the clock, because it's like the moment I start talking about an Nancy Myers movie, I'm like, 3 hours are going to pass and we have to get out of the studio. Yes, in absolutely. 25 minutes.
Perfect.
But so Something's Gotta Give is Nancy Myers's third directorial effort after Parent Trap and What Women Want. And I talked about this movie on another podcast, Blank Check, a couple of years ago when they did a Nancy Myers season. Maybe it was 1 year ago. But I think what makes this movie really interesting, and why I was excited to choose it then, is because... So this, do you know the podcast Blank Check?
Yes.
For those of you who don't know what it is, it was begun under the premise that like there are certain categories of directors, a lot of directors, when you have a hit, it does so well, you get a blank check and it's like, do whatever you want next. And the movie and the podcast was originally about those movies. It's expanded to be about, you know, just directors and their filmographies. But this is kind of her blank check movie, because the movie she made before this, well, the two she did, Parent Trap, which was a big success. It was a Disney hit. She had written a lot of movies before, including Father of the Bride 2.
Baby Boom.
Which Private Benjamin. I love Baby Boom. What else did she write? The Whoopi Goldberg Jumpin' Jack Flash. Very good. Very weird. Then she makes What Women Want. Writes, directs it. It makes so much money. Do you know how much money?
Hundreds of millions of dollars.
$374 million.
Insane.
One of the highest grossing romantic comedies of all time. It's in the top three when you adjust like for inflation.
For grossing,
It's huge. And so after this movie, 2 years later, they're like, Nancy, in my mind, they're like, Nancy, I mean, the industry is way more sexist than this, but like, Nancy, make whatever you want to make. And what she wanted to make was a movie about old people falling in love and like having sex and like getting naked.
Yeah.
And like, and it's so, it's so bloated. Like, she just throws everything in this movie. And there's always a Nancy Meyers stand-in in all of her movies.
Yeah.
And this one feels the most autobiographical because she's a playwright. She's a writer.
She's a writer. She's writing. The dialogue in this movie is so good that it could be fake dialogue.
Yeah.
And you're like, wow, that's really good dialogue. But it's actually just the dialogue that you watch. And you're like, great.
It's
more
so
of it.
Good.
Tell me it again.
Yeah, she's, and I think it's like, it is, to me, in my mind, the most, it's complicated, might be one I like a little more, but like academically, I feel like it is the peak Nancy Meyers movie. It's like everything about Nancy Meyers that we like and talk about and make fun of and love is in this movie turned up all the way.
Absolutely.
And it's so much fun to watch. And it's about Amanda Peet falls in love with this older playboy, Jack Nicholson, Harry, takes her to her mom's house in the Hamptons when she thinks her mom isn't there for the weekend. They're about to fool around. Before they do, he has a heart attack while Diane Keaton and her sister, Frances McDormand, are there. And so he has to go to the hospital, stay at the house for a few weeks, months. I'm always unclear about the time frame.
I mean, the first time he tries to get out, it seems like hours.
Yeah. Like, and then it's like, you could go into the city, but it'll be better if you stay here, blah, 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 with Dr. Keanu Reeves. They fall in love. Amanda Peet leaves him. He's like, I'm a playboy. I don't want to be in this relationship. She starts dating Keanu Reeves, and then they get back together at the end in Paris. Does it end in Paris? It does, right?
It ends. Yeah. Well, it ends in Paris, and then there's that scene where they show them
the baby
or the restaurant, like all together. And...
anyway, it's wonderful. Can you guess how much this movie cost to make?
Cost?
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually not sure.
Okay. What Woman Want cost $70 million. This cost $80.
Okay.
I'm assuming talent expensive here.
Yeah, mostly talent.
There aren't many locations here.
No.
And a lot of the locations look fake.
Yeah.
A lot of the facades are like, this is not.
Paris is like
Paris
CGI.
Is not Paris. Paris has never been less Paris.
No.
Paris is like filmed in the same lot The Good Place is filmed. Like Paris is... yes. Paris is so un-Paris.
Yeah.
Do you remember the first time you saw it? It made, by the way, $266 million. Diane Keaton won a Golden Globe for it. She
deserved.
Got nominated for an Oscar for it. Jack got nominated for an Oscar for it. I don't think Nancy got anything once again.
Unjust.
Unjust. So cool. Do you remember the first time you saw it?
I remember seeing this in college kind of with a friend who's like, let's just put it on. We'll watch it. Like, and I was like, oh, yeah, I heard it's great. Like, whatever. And then being like, oh, it's so good. And then like later on, just like whenever I have an opportunity to watch it, like I will take that opportunity just because it's like, I know I'm going to have a good time watching it. Like I'm never going to be like, oh yeah, this part is bad. Like, no, probably not. Like, I think it's pretty much all good.
And that's the case with all of our movies. And I think a similar thing is that I would say they age like wine, but that's not a good Nancy Meyers reference. You know what they age like? Linen.
Oh yeah.
Linen sheets get more comfortable over time. Like linen clothes get softer over time.
Beachwear. Vintage beachwear.
This ages like a beautiful pair of like white linen sheets. Every time I watch it, I like it more. Because the first time I saw it, I remember I saw it with my sister in the theater. And I thought it was fine.
Sure.
And every single time I watched it since, I've fallen more in love with it. It's like you notice little... do you notice little things? It also... There's a way that she... reveals things. I don't know. The way that the movie is structured is just so smart, and I don't know how she does it, but this happens in all of our movies. Like I was saying, it's always surprising somehow, and I don't know what that magic is. Like, I don't know how I'm always like gasping at this movie that should seem so cut and dry.
There are just so many avenues she takes you down, right? So like, and it could end at so many different points, but she just keeps going and keeps telling you more story. And you're like, please, like, give it to me. You're like, rarely in her movies are you left wondering, like, I wonder what happened to that side character. Like, no, they resolve everything. Like, I think of Parent Trap when, like, Chessie and the butler get together. Yeah. Like, she gives them an ending.
I love
like,
that you remember that her name is Chessie.
Oh, of course.
A lot of people think Chessie? It's Jessie.
No, Chessie is important.
It's Chessie. It's very much Chessie.
It's very much Chessie.
So this is the first movie that she wrote for Diane Keaton after Baby Boom. And I'm just going to play. I thought this was very sweet. And this is her speech for winning the Golden Globe. I'm not going to play the whole thing.
Oh, my God. Okay. All right. Thank you. I sure as hell wasn't prepared to be rediscovered by Nancy Meyers. Let's face it, getting to play a woman to love at 57 is like reaching for the stars with the stepladder. But I know I got lucky, and isn't it ironic that my luck, all my luck, was to have Nancy give me a chance to play a woman to love.
She references the play in the movie twice already. This goes on for two more minutes. But I love that, like, I think that there's something telling in the fact that she opens with, like, Nancy, Nancy, Nancy. Thank you, Nancy. This is Nancy. And I think that it's something that cannot be overstated. I was so glad when you picked this movie. I mean, she is a true auteur. Like, she is, like, we understand. She has such a distinct point of view. And, yeah, it's about, like, rich white people in the Hamptons. Like, yeah, that's her point of view. That's what 0.02% of the population is, like, a Nancy Myers character. But somehow they feel like they could be any of us.
The way she says her name in that speech is how, like, it makes sense to say Nancy. She's like, Nancy! Like, it's just like, yes, that's the way I feel about this, too.
Nancy!
And, yeah, I totally agree with you. Like, at the root of it, like, Jack Nicholson's character is just, like, he is an old, lonely guy. And that's something, like, everyone can be sympathetic with. And, like, with Diane Keaton's character, it's very, like, you are a strong person and no one sees you. And that's, like, her story. And I feel like all people just want to be, like, seen. And she's really good at tapping into, like, those basic human emotions.
Yeah.
Even though they're, like, rich, crazy people.
Yeah. And I think that even that sort of adds something to her nude scene, which is a big point of conversation in 2003. It was like, Diane Keaton, this 50-something woman, is doing a nude scene. And to be fair, it's like 1 second.
Sure.
But it's still a nude scene.
Yeah, she's still naked.
And I think that that's like, in a way, it's Nancy Myers. And I'm sure she's given interviews to this effect where it's like, yeah, like, we can look at her like that. Like, there's no reason for us not to look at her like that. She can be sexy. She could be naked in the movie. Because, like, guess what? Diane Keaton has sex. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's okay. Like, people over 50 are still, like, having sex with each other in the Hamptons, you know, while recovering from heart surgery.
Totally.
I want to go back to Frances McDormand, who I think is a Columbia professor.
She is a woman studies professor at Columbia University.
Who is Diane Keaton's character's sister. Is she supposed to be gay? Speaking of gay stuff.
I think she is supposed to be gay.
Yeah.
There's, like, a gay reading to it because... Mm-hmm. I feel like when she sees Keanu at the farmer's market later in the movie, that there's, like, no spark between, like, at no point is there any spark between her and, like, anyone. And she's very encouraging of, like, everyone having sex. Like, it's very, like, she's queer. She reads as queer.
That's, and I think that's sort of a thing. It's also peak Nancy Myers to, like, never meet a gay person.
No, even though you're in the Hampton. Like, all of Ina Garten's best friends are in this movie, but they're not gay.
Yeah.
Like, somehow.
Like, making flower arrangements and, like, bringing fresh bread to her house.
Totally.
Like, are you a Jack Nicholson fan, like, generally?
I think I am not a hater in any way. Or I wouldn't say, like, I'm a stan, but I'm a fan of watching him, like, in movies, and I think he's particularly charming in this one.
Yeah, there are certain types of older prestige actors, usually dudes, and when they're in a movie, they sort of seem to be phoning it in. Harrison Ford is a big one. Robert De Niro is a big one. You can tell that they're in movies that they don't care about. They just want the check. And I feel like at a certain point in their career, they, like, stop trying in a way that actresses don't stop trying,
right?
And there are a few movies that each of those people has made where it's like there's like a respect to the material that you can see. And in this one, it's like Jack Nicholson seems to be, like, really having a good time and, like, doing something interesting. It's sort of like Robert De Niro made, like, a bunch of movies that no one cared about and, like, weirdo comedies.
Yeah.
And then he made The Intern, which is really sweet.
People like to
dump on that movie, but that is a really sweet, cute little movie that everyone involved is, like, very passionate about.
Anne Hathaway is really great in that movie.
She's so vulnerable.
Yeah, she's so good.
She's really good. And I think that's something that Nancy Myers is just, like, an expert at. And during the end, we were talking about this before recording, but during the promo cycle for The Intern, Nancy Myers talked a lot about how she had a hard time getting money for it because, like, she wants to make a movie about an old person befriending a young person and, like, no one's having sex. Like, it's not a rom-com. It's just, like, about friends. And everyone was like, you can't make that movie. That's not gonna work. And she's like, all I do is make movies that are hit. Like, all I do is make movies about demographics that no one thinks they're gonna care about, and they end up being monster hits. Just trust Nancy Myers is what I'm saying.
You have one new message. Message one.
Erica, hi, it's Julian. I'm in the restaurant, and I'm just wondering if you're on your way. It's about 8:20. It's a lovely night out here. It's nice.
The crying scene. I want to talk about the crying scene. The crying scene somehow is so funny.
So funny.
And it goes on so long.
There's so many tears.
It's just like a great distillation of like Nancy Myers' approach to like cinema. Like, yeah. Like we don't have a time frame here. Like, just keep on crying. She's so funny in it. And I think Diane Keaton can get wrapped up in nervous lady a little too much.
Yeah.
And somehow here it's like kind of composed and good. Oh, and when gosh. She's crying.
When she grabs the glasses and she realizes that they're his glasses and cries and like double cries, it's perfect.
No one can cry like Diane Keaton.
No.
What do you think about the play?
I think the play is probably bad.
It must be bad, right?
Like when they say like the dancing Harrys and there's like a chorus line of like naked old dancers, I'm like, oh, this was a terrible play that was a hit.
It was probably, I feel like even good writers have a hard time writing writers, where it's like, especially where they have, if they have to like write the fiction that the writers are writing and then show the fake fiction that the fake writer's writing, it's always bad. Yeah. But here it's like particularly bad.
Yeah.
There's no way that play is good.
I mean, I think they were making the point that it's like a commercial hit. Like, it seems to be like a goofball musical.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
But like also like that seems bad. Like that that doesn't mean that it's good.
I want to talk about other Nancy Myers movies. You said your favorite one is The Parent Trap.
Yes.
She wrote Private Benjamin. She wrote Baby Boom. She wrote Bride of the Bride. She wrote I Love Trouble.
Mm-hmm.
She wrote Father of the Bride Part 2. Let's focus on her directorial efforts.
Sure.
Parent Trap, What Women Want, Something's Gotta Give, The Holiday, It's Complicated. The Intern. Rank them from top to bottom.
I think number one for me is Parent Trap.
I agree.
It's perfect film to me. Like every second of it, I just
it's nostalgic.
It
takes you back.
Sir, that's
it has aged wonderfully. Again, linen. Yeah. Like Chessie has taken such good care of the linen. Yes. It's so good.
The house is so beautiful. Oh. The California house is like
I love both of the houses, yeah, honestly.
They're both amazing.
R.I.P. the Concord. Number two.
Number two, I would say has to be this. Like, Something's Gotta Give is number two. Number three for me is probably It's Complicated.
Okay.
Like, Meryl is just so good in it. Like, unbelievable.
Yeah.
And then The Holiday is probably after that. Mm-hmm. I feel like you're a particular Holiday fan. Is that true?
Sort of. I don't love The Holiday.
Okay.
But I feel like it's impossible to not enjoy it. Like, it's still a Nancy Myers movie.
Yeah.
Like, it's such a warm little movie. Yeah. I don't love it, though.
Yeah.
I feel like I like the Kate Winslet, Jack Black subplot a whole lot more than I like Cameron Diaz and Jude Law.
I agree. I totally agree.
But
it's much more interesting.
But it's cute.
Yeah. Wait, what are the other ones?
Oh, and then you've got the one you have left are What Women Want and The Intern.
I think that, for me, is in that order. Like,
What Women Want.
I love What Women Want. I think it's good. But, like, there's something about Mel Gibson that just, like, I can't fully commit to. I don't think it's aged as well as the other ones.
Yeah. No.
Because mostly
it's aged terribly. Yeah.
Yeah. And just in general, like, the whole of the movie, it's like, is that the perspective we need? Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Also, Mel Gibson and Helen Hunt have, like, very little chemistry.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't work for me as...
Yeah. She had more chemistry with, like, the tornadoes and Twister than she does in Mel Gibson.
Yeah.
But... So The Intern's your number.
I guess by default, it's
your final.
I still like really enjoy it, but I know that's a little rougher.
I think we're pretty. No, I think we're almost identical. I think I would put What Women Want last.
Okay,
but I'm not sure where I would put The Intern over The Holiday. And I feel like it's seasonal. Like if it were December 23rd right now, Holiday would be like maybe number two.
Move up to the rankings.
Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
The Intern also, the Anders Holmes, like with that's who's in it, right?
Yeah.
Like, that whole subplot of it, like, throws the movie off for me.
It's weird.
It's very weird. And,
it's
like,
weird.
It just hurts to watch. Like, I don't know. I'm not into it.
It still made money.
Yeah.
Because it's Nancy Myers.
Thank God.
And then she probably, like, ghost directed her daughter's movie, The Home Again, which we won't talk about.
We won't talk about that.
We're not going to talk about
that. That's
Home
not
Again.
Nice.
We're not going to talk about Home Again. An interesting thing that I discovered while I was looking up some stuff about Something's Gotta Give is that Something's Gotta Give is, like, specifically an American English idiom. Like, people aren't saying that in other languages, really. And if they are, it's like a completely different translation.
Right.
So I was like, what is this movie called in another country? And I don't know why I've never looked that up before. So oh I looked God, it up I and this. I like in Lithuania, it's called Milet Has Fun, which I guess is Erica's name in the movie Milet.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yes, Milet has fun.
She does have
she
fun.
She does have fun.
She has tons of it.
So I found some other, these are, to be fair, these are the literal English translations of, the other language titles. But still, you're going to play a little game. You're going to see if you can guess the country okay. based on the name for something okay. you got to get. Cool. All of them are different.
Great.
Okay. Okay. Anything could happen. Is that Germany, Italy, or Spain?
That feels Italian to me.
You got it right. It's Italian.
It has an Italian yeah. essence yeah. to it.
And then, close, but not quite, everything can happen. Is that Portugal, Greece, or France?
That feels very French to me.
It's very French. You got it. Oh, my God. Wow. 2 out of 2. This is great. There are 10.
I really felt the spirit of it.
Okay. Something unexpected.
Oh, boy.
Is that Mexico, Canada, or Argentina?
That's so weird. That could be Mexico.
It's Canada.
I knew it was Canada. I knew it. It was on the tip of my tongue.
I put it after this because both of them are in French.
Oh.
But the Canadian French translates to something completely different.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what's going on in Canada, but not
That's
everything can
so
happen.
Crazy. Yeah.
Okay. I love this one. One has to come up short. Is this Iran, India, or Malta?
I think it's India.
It's Iran.
Okay. This title is about Keanu Reeves' character because he is the one he is the one that has
You're
to come
right.
up short. Literally
right.
one has
one of,
to.
One of them does.
That title's a spoiler.
That is. I don't know. Nancy, just throwing out life lessons. I didn't even know it. One has to. Like, we can't all be like Diane Keaton and Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
When you least expect it. Finland, Norway, or Iceland?
I'm going to go with Finland.
No. Close. It's Norway. It's close. I mean, that was sort of a trick question.
Okay.
Yeah. Better late than... Oh, this is great. Better late than later.
Oh!
Which, if you think about it, is almost a better idiom or phrase than better late than never.
Yeah.
You know?
Better late than later.
Later, yeah.
Or even, yeah. Better than never.
Better than never. Better late than later. Is this Thailand, Chile, or Greece?
I'm going to go with Chile.
It's Greece.
Oh, I knew it. I knew it. I don't know why I didn't pick that.
Someone in the Mamma Mia universe yeah. definitely says better late than later, you know? Okay. Crazy in Love. I love that one. Is this Japan, Russia, or Sweden?
I think Japan.
I knew you would think Japan,
but it is
Sweden.
Oh, gosh.
It's Sweden.
Okay.
That's why I threw Japan in there. Okay.
That's like also a Swedish pop song. Like,
that's
perfect.
Max Martin wrote yeah. that song. 4 more. Everything is possible in love. Everything is possible in love.
True.
Turkey, Serbia, or the Czech Republic?
I'm going to go with Serbia.
It's Turkey. It's very... this is impossible.
This is so hard. I was on a roll.
You were doing really well. Yep. Went to your head. As they say in Iran, one has to come up short.
Okay. It's me in this game.
I love this one.
Okay.
Someone has to concede, which is similar to one must come up short. Is this Egypt, Ukraine, or Mexico?
I'm going to go with Ukraine.
It's Mexico. It's Mexico.
Okay.
I don't know how I thought anyone would just get these, yeah. but it's fun to run through them. Okay.
I love them.
Love by the rules, ellipsis, and without. Love. Oh, here we go. I'm going to do this better
okay.
intonation.
Okay.
Love by the rules, ellipsis, and without.
Oh.
Is this Pakistan, Germany, or Russia?
I think Pakistan.
It's Russia.
Russia. Wow. I was expecting like a curt title, mm-hmm. maybe.
And without. But yeah. like Russia mentioning rules. It almost sort of makes sense when you think about it. Yeah, love by the rules. You have to love by the rules. Okay. And then just romantic age. Is this South Korea, China, or Japan?
I'm going to say Japan.
It's Japan.
You
ended with
I loved ending on a win.
That's great.
Thank you.
Anything and everything could happen when we're playing this game about something's got to give. That needs a better name. I'll think of one.
It is. Yeah.
Do you have any last thoughts about something's got to give? SGG? The NM heads?
I'm just happy for Amanda Peet, too. She ends up with a lovely husband and a child.
She does.
It's good for her.
It's also funny, like, when you scrutinize her movies, they're sort of like, she's a very traditionalist, where mm-hmm. it's like she was trying to have too much fun, but she really just needs to settle down with some like friendly, boring guy and yeah, like have a baby.
Literally.
Like she's having too much fun as an auctioneer or whatever she did.
She is an auctioneer.
Like also calling her mom in from the city, like, "Mom, I'm so upset."
That dad's engaged. Which is like very inappropriate.
It sort of happens and it's complicated yeah. too. When they all get in the bed after right. they find out that their mom and dad are like together again. They're so confused. They're all adults.
It's inappropriate.
Anyway, we're done talking about Something's Gotta Give. Thank you for coming in here, Miles. I'm going to go watch it again.
Thank
I watched
you so
it like
much.
A week ago and I'm going to watch it again. This was Same. A lot of fun. Something's Gotta Give is streaming now on Netflix. Her other movies are not.
I know.
And that's a problem.
It's a crisis.
Netflix, call up Nancy. Make a deal. We got to get them all on there. You don't have to call up Hallie Meyershire. We don't need Home Again. We just need the Nancy Myers canon. Thanks for coming in. Have a great week.